Hello, 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 geeks, freaks, and tomb dwellers, and welcome back to this Tombs of Horror minisode that I'm sure is going to get me a bunch of hate mail, but fuck it. As always, I'm your host, Dustin. Before we get into it, I just wanted to give a little personal news. After a three-month hiatus due to my accident that I was in back in November, which pretty much fucked me up pretty bad. I will be going back to work as of tomorrow. And so that means my episode release schedule is going to get kind of screwy again. I'll try to release at least one full-length or one minisode per week. But that just depends on how work is going to be going. But I'm going to try to do my best to at least get one episode out a week, one way or the other. Sometimes it might be 2 weeks before I get a new episode out, but just stay tuned because they will be coming. It just depends on when I can get around to doing them, with going back to work and all that kind of shit. Also, if you haven't heard it yet, my band, Raped by Wolves, has a new album out, We Are Legion. It's out now on Spotify, YouTube, blah, 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 all the major music streaming platforms. So if you haven't heard it yet, go check it out. I'd really appreciate it. So as I said before, I'm pretty sure this episode is going to get me some hate mail, but fuck it. If you couldn't tell by the title, I'm going to be talking a little about the 1979 classic Alien. And while it is considered, it's rightfully considered a classic, but I'm really not a big fan of it. For some reasons I'll get into later on. But if you haven't seen this movie, and I can't imagine anybody that listens to this hasn't seen it at least once, you should just check it out anyway because, like I said, it's considered a classic, even if I'm not that big of a fan. So, anyway, let's get into it with, like I said before, 1979's Alien. Okay, that preview was a lot more fucking annoying than I thought it was going to be and didn't tell you shit. But, like I said, I can't really imagine anybody listening to this hasn't seen this movie at least once in their life. But just in case, I'm going to get into the plot, which opens with the commercial space tug Nostromo returning to Earth with a 7-member crew in stasis. Captain Dallas, Executive Officer Kane, Warrant Officer Ripley, Navigator Lambert, Science Officer Ash, and two engineers, Parker and Brett. Detecting a transmission from a nearby moon, the ship's computer, Mother, awakens the crew. Per company policy, requiring any potential distress signal to be investigated. They land on the moon despite Parker's protests, sustaining damage from its atmosphere and rocky landscape in the process. The engineers stay on board to make repairs, while Dallas, Kane, and Lambert head out to investigate. They discover the signal originates from a derelict alien ship and enter it, lose communication with the Nostromo, and Ripley deciphers part of the transmission, determining it to be a warning, but cannot relay this information to those on the derelict ship. Meanwhile, Kane discovers a chamber containing hundreds of large egg-like objects. When he touches one, a creature springs out, breaks through his helmet, and attaches itself to his face. Dallas and Lambert then carry the unconscious Kane back to the Nostromo. As acting senior officer, Ripley refuses to let them on board, citing quarantine regulations, but Ash overrides her decision and lets them inside. Ash then attempts to remove the creature from Kane's face, but stops when he discovers that its blood is an extremely corrosive acid, which could potentially damage the hull of the ship. It later detaches on its own and is found dead. The ship is then partially repaired, and the crew continue their journey back to Earth. Kane awakens with some memory loss, but seems to be otherwise unharmed, and during a final crew meal before returning to stasis, he suddenly chokes and goes into convulsions. A small alien creature then bursts from Kane's chest, killing him, and escapes into the ship, with Ash dissuading the rest from killing it. After disposing of Kane's body through an airlock, the crew attempts to locate the creature with tracking devices and captures it with nets, electric prods, and flamethrowers. Brett then follows the crew's Cat Jones into a landing-leg compartment where the now fully grown alien attacks Brett and disappears with his body. After a heated discussion, the crew decides that the creature must be in the air ducts, which leads to Dallas entering the ducts, intending to force the monster into an airlock, but it ambushes and seemingly kills him. Lambert, realizing that the alien intends to aggressively kill the crew one by one, implores the others to abandon ship and escape into its small shuttle, but Ripley, now in command, explains it will not support four people and insists on continuing with Dallas's plan of flushing out the alien. Accessing Mother, Ripley discovers that Ash has been secretly ordered by the company to bring the alien back, with the crew considered expendable. She confronts Ash, who tries to choke her to death, but Parker intervenes and clubs Ash, knocking his head loose and revealing that he is an android. Ash's head is reactivated, and they learn that he was assigned to ensure the creature's survival. He expresses admiration for the creature's psychology, unhindered by conscience or morality, and taunts them about their chances of survival. Ripley then shuts him the fuck up by cutting off his power, and as they leave, Parker incinerates him. The remaining crew then decide to self-destruct the Nostromo and escape in the shuttle. However, Parker and Lambert are ambushed and killed by the creature while gathering life support supplies, and Ripley initiates the self-destruct sequence, only to find the alien blocking her path to the shuttle. She retreats and attempts unsuccessfully to abort the self-destruct, and with no further options, she makes her way to the shuttle, Jones with her, and barely escapes as the Nostromo explodes. Then, as Ripley prepares for stasis, she discovers that the alien is still aboard, having wedged itself into a narrow space. She puts on a spacesuit and uses gas to flush the creature out. It then approaches Ripley, but before it can attack, she opens an airlock, almost blasting the creature into space. But it manages to hang on by gripping the frame. Ripley then shoots it with the grappling hook, but the gun catches as the airlock door closes, tethering the alien to the shuttle. And as it pulls itself into an engine exhaust, Ripley fires the engines, blasting the creature away into the depths of space. After recording the final log entry, she places Jones and herself into stasis for the trip back to Earth, and the movie ends. As I've stated twice already, this is looked at as a classic of the horror genre, and rightfully so, I guess. But there are some things in it, to me, that make it really not that good of a movie, despite it getting critical acclaim and all the fucking fans that like it and blah blah blah, and it having, I think, what is it, 5 or 6 sequels now? But anyway, my biggest reason for not really liking this movie is that it is way overlong and it overstays its welcome. And it has a deliberately very slow pacing that can't keep my attention for more than a few minutes. There are way too many long, drawn-out scenes with very little going on. And most of the time, when action does take place, it's much too dark to see what the fuck is going on. It also keeps the alien, or as it's also known later on, as a xenomorph, in the shadows, which kind of works to its advantage in the beginning. But then, as you see more of the creature and realize how cool looking it really fucking is, the shadows just kind of destroy everything that makes the creature cool. Ripley, the heroine of this movie, and the subsequent three sequels that would follow that involved her, is originally portrayed as a typical airhead heroine. I'm sure every guy who's seen this has rolled their eyes when Ripley kept going after that fucking cat and said typical chick in their head or out loud. It's just kind of a typical thing you see in pretty much every horror movie. And while I'm talking about the characters, none of them are really all that likable and are really only looking out for themselves and are just basically cannon fodder for the alien. And one of my biggest gripes with it is if this is supposed to take place in the future, why are they using late 70s technology on an Nostromo? And I mean, it's glaringly evident when this movie was, or the time frame this movie was made, which was, like I said, in the late 70s, just by the computers they use and all that kind of stuff. I understand technology wasn't where it is now back then, but still, they could have at least made it look more futuristic. And this is basically just another dark house slash slasher film with people being picked off one by one, but just in space. And even though, like I said, this is looked at as a classic, the next two sequels are far more entertaining with more action and faster moving, and a lot more, and has a lot more going on. This was made for $11 million and brought in $106.3 million at the box office. IMDb gave this an 8.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes a 98%, which surprised me to be quite honest. Letterboxd a 4 out of 5, and I give it a 3.1 out of 5. And that just about wraps it up. As always, you can reach me at darksyde9034@gmail.com, or you can reach me on Instagram at ratedbywolvesbandofficial, all one word. And that wraps it up, guys. I'm Dustin, and this has been Tombs of Horror. I'll see you next time.